All right, I thought I'd warn the folks at home, I am breathing into the microphone, so don't get too close to the radio. All right, I'm being facetious, but I can't help it. What bothers me is how that when the world goes nuts, God's people are supposed to keep their head. And when I don't see much difference between God's people and the world, it bothers me. It's all right. You'll get through today, maybe. Revelation chapter 3. We can't get out of it. We're on the seventh church this morning, the church of Laodicea, or the letters to the seven churches. And as we gave you the verse that divides the book of Revelation, if you'll stick with it, it'll help you so much in understanding the book. It's in the first chapter, verse 19, where John on the Isle of Patmos is told to write the things which thou hast seen. That takes care of chapter 1, the vision. And the things which are, that's the church age. Then number 3, the things which shall be hereafter. If I don't change my mind tonight, I'm probably going to work on some of these things that will be hereafter. My theory is that if we panic over something like this, what's going to happen when the real stuff gets here? Amen. Anyway, Church of Laodicea, last one, worst of the bunch. The Philadelphian church, the 6-1, was the best. We talked to you a lot about that being the glorious age where God had so many revivals and souls saved and churches started and missionaries sent. We could call that the Philadelphian church age, where the Bible was put into language of the common man, and the King James Bible comes out as the one God used and blessed through the ages. That's why I won't change for any of the rest. Any one word in it changed, don't need changing. You watch the world advertise stuff. Do you remember? I'm on date some of you now. How the world does this thing. I preached on sin being repackaged last week. Well, the world's good at repackaging stuff to con you, to fool you. And I remember in the old days when they'd be advertising deodorant on TV. Does that smell familiar? And I remember when they come out with Ice Blue Secret. Ice Blue Secret. Next thing I knew, they came out with new Ice Blue Secret. And then they came out the third time with new Ice Blue Secret. I guess some of the first failed. I don't know. But the world is good at that stuff. Just really, really good. And when it comes to the Bible, get another version. Well, why don't you get it right? I'll tell you why you can't get it right. It never was wrong. It never got broke. You don't need to fix it. You keep what God's given and used and blessed. And this old business of, and by the way, folks, a new version, if folks get lazy, I can't understand. I know, listen, we're told to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I would not kid you. Bible study can be labor. Study anything can be. But the Bible is also written simple enough a child can understand and be saved. No doubt about that. So we're just going to stick with it like it is. Now, the Philadelphian church age was roughly 1500 on up. You could start with Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation and how God blessed the underground church to help him. And the underground church were called Anabaptists because they were anti-baby sprinkling for baptism. And you go back in history, you find the Trail of the Martyrs. Baptists have had probably more bloodshed than anybody else because they stuck by the Word of God. We still come under persecution today because we won't bend on the Word of God. And one of the things that Baptists should be getting credit for in America is we took our stand on separation of church and state. When the colonies were brought over here, we fought for religious freedom. To start with, everybody wanted to have a church over a colony, just like a state church. Like they had in England. The Church of England became what we call the Episcopal Church in America, but it was the one that was the state church. So you paid a little tax to support the church. Now, they had some good things. Now, they were offering some doctrines, had works for salvation and stuff, but they had some good things. The ushers did not pass the plate like we did this morning. They had a long handle on it, had a stick handle on it, so they could reach it way down and bring it back. But that had a double purpose. The same ushers, when they got back and emptied the plates, they turned it around and they watched for anybody that went to sleep, and they cracked them on the head with that long stick. So they didn't have everything bad. Some of it was pretty good, I guess. I'm playing around with it now, but that was the truth. They actually did that. But the Baptists said, no, a man's conscience between the Lord. And they didn't have this man-made formality and stuff that went with the so-called formal church. And then taxing the people to support the church was wrong. George Washington, our first president, said something that's still in writing about that. He said, if a man's religion will not support itself, it's not worth having. And he's right. He's right. I've through the years here, as God's blessed our ministry, we've done various things, and some pretty big things for the cause of Christ. You look at the picture over here over the organ, the hotel we renovated and put the college and the radio station in it. Most of you, many of you know what a mess it was, and it cost a lot of money to get it done, but we mostly did our own labor. It was amazing what this church did. But anyway, I had so many people come to me as we were getting that thing done, and this was a big question. Where did you get the money from? Where did you borrow the money? Who gave you a loan for that? That's the question I got over and over again. I'm talking about even some Christian people. Who loaned you? Who financed it? Who holds your mortgage? And they couldn't believe me when I said God's people did it. We took up offerings. We raised the money. And some of them still looked at me like I was lying. Well, the truth is God's people can do a lot when they want to. When their heart's in it, they can do a lot. And so by the grace of God, we still believe the old-fashioned way that God will speak to hearts to give and to do what needs to be done. Now, the Philadelphian church age was that kind of church. I still believe the Philadelphian church is around. I believe we are one. I believe there are many other good ones. And part of what you see with all this virus fuss and everything else is you see the hate now generated against the truth as the Philadelphian church stood for it and should still be standing for it. And it's an amazing thing how you see a satanic hate that's risen up here in these last few years against anything godly. And it is the issues, it is the godly values that are under attack today. The Philadelphian church, we're proud of. Now we move to the Laodicean church, and it is so accurate to what we read in the news today. The Laodicean church, the word Laodicea is saying the rights or the social rights are of the people. We call it the social gospel. And it is amazing how we can identify this church today. Often it has big buildings with very few people in them. Where they get the money from, often it is from good Christians in the times past that died and left it to them. It is amazing how they're financed with that if you check into it. I could give some names. Even go all the way back to the name of a man you'd recognize as being rich later was John D. Rockefeller. And yet he gave tremendous amounts of money when he really got converted and saw the cause of Christ and left money. And one of the most liberal churches in the world right now is still operating off of that, what we'd call inheritance. And you could check it out. But the truth is that the Laodicean church age is on us. Now, we read in the paper, we hear in the news about it. You got men in the pulpit claiming to be preachers, not even close to being saved to start with. They have long left the blood-bought gospel of Jesus Christ. Their gospel is the social gospel, the civil rights of the people. And not a week goes by I don't hear something on the news or get something through the mail. That is shocking. I saw this week where a preacher in one of those churches come out and got the headlines. The fake news will run to that crowd. They love to catch a Judas and let Judas make a statement against what is truth, biblical truth. So there was a preacher in the news this week. I forget his name right now. He said, you were not preaching the gospel. It was anti-gospel if you preached against transgenderism. Well, his arguments with Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 19, in the beginning, God made them male and female. So that's how far out of touch the Laodicean church is with the truth and the Word of God. And that just keeps happening. Now, I've told you before, not too far from us, we've had churches parade a couple of little dogs down the aisle and marry them. Big ceremony. One of those Laodicean churches. And lesbian women preaching their lesbianism from the pulpit and claiming to be a preacher. Now, some of you ain't gonna like this, but I don't believe God calls women to preach. I do believe they can be a testimony, but I do not believe they ought to be ordained as a pastor. A few years back, not many, just a few years ago, one of the ushers got me. He said, you better see this lady back here in the back. So it was just before Sunday school started, so I walked back there. Well-dressed lady, come in. She said she was going to preach here today. That's right. I said, no, ma'am, you're not. I said, if you want to sit down back here and be quiet, you're welcome to service, but you're not going to preach. Well, I'm an ordained preacher. I said, not by the Bible, you're not. I said, who's you? You know, the Bible tells us a preacher's a husband and one wife. I said, where's your wife? Now, that's a dangerous thing, because nowadays they got them that way. They got them that way nowadays. But that's just junk. Sarah, I'm sure you remember the one. This is another one. I'm looking at Sarah Wren here and Brother Jack, the one that actually came up on the platform. We had a time that morning with her. All right. We've had some fun here at church through the years, too. But anyway, she came in announcing she was going to preach. And we had quite a time with that. Now, folks, I'm not mean. I'm just biblical. I'm going to go by what the Word of God says and take my stand on that kind of stuff. But the Laodicean church age has departed so far from the Philadelphian church age. So the gospel now, according to them, is social rights. And that's what you see. You see so-called churches marching in the street with a mob that's really for killing the babies and promoting homosexuality and all the worst stuff we could name, and then trying to claim in the name of the church. So the Laodicean church age. Now, God says something about it. He says, you're not hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. And he says down in verse 16 of chapter 3, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God's blessing is not on that. So it's not a church. It's just a church in name. Self-deceived is what it amounts to. Now, all these other churches get a commendation from God. He points out their good and their bad, but he don't point out any good at all here about the Laodicean church. He says in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Now, they thought they were rich, but in God's eyes, he said, you're poor, you're wretched, you're blind. It's an interesting thing, the word blind here, and because they say Laodicea in that area made a lot of money off of an eye salve that they invented. It was popular. People traveled all over to get it. And apparently it might have done some good. But they made a lot of money off of it in that day of the Laodicean church. Now, all these churches did exist in Asia Minor, but they also picture. And this last one pictures the last of the age before Jesus comes, the predicament in God's eyes of what the church looks like to him. And so it was an amazing thing that right in the verse there, it uses the word blind, the very thing they were making the money off of. And God said, you're blind and don't know it. You think you're helping others that are blind, but you're blind. And then he says, I counsel thee. He gives them some good advice here. To buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes, back to it again, anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He's saying the salve you got, the physical salve you got that you're making money off of, and you think you can see, but you can't see. And so he gives them that advice. Now, the Laodicean church, we could go on and on with examples of it today. It is so ridiculous. I get, and many of you do, all kind of stuff sent to me through the mail. And it's got to where when you see a new, what I'll call a religious magazine or pair article, it don't take me but about 30 seconds to flip it open and see it's a Laodicean magazine and throw it away. Every week. Got a couple of new ones this week. And not worth my time to read that. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe that Jesus was really who he said he was. They are trying to find a back door to come in to get you to accept some evil doctrine. It is amazing how they try to squeeze that thing in. And I'm teaching here the book of Revelation in Sunday school. One of the magazines I flipped open this week, just before I threw it away, was trying to tell me quickly, and I didn't read but just a few lines to see where they were going, to how to pull the truth out of the book of Revelation and tell you it all happened in the past, don't fear it in the future. Now, that was the bottom line. Don't take me but a minute to throw that kind of thing away. But see, they got a motive behind it. They're doing their best to destroy the truth, destroy the gospel, destroy the real Bible. That's what's behind it all. Laodicean church age, we often refer to it that way. Lukewarm, not hard or cold with the Lord. A self-deceived church. And you got a lot of so-called churches today that are very, very self-deceived. I mean, it is amazing to me what is accepted in those places. And yet the news media buys right into that and promotes that. Now the Lord says, you might think you're rich, but you're poor. You might think you see, but you're blind. You might think you're clothed, but you're naked in my sight. And so he says this to the Laodicean church. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Do you know, we've come to this day and time when parents are advised in raising kids never to spank. Yet the Bible tells us God spanks us, he chastens us because he loves us. And the instruction about raising kids in the Bible is if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And what we got now is results of the modern philosophy that has moved in and the Bible been laid aside. I think it was Dr. Spock that came out with the child raising book many years ago. And of course, he's fundamental compared to now. But so far left, so liberal. And while he might have had a few good things in it, he caused a generation of kids to be raised wrong. And I remember, I guess it was a joke, but little boy was talking with his playmate, and he heard his mama holler, and he said, "Well, you don't have to, the playmate said, you don't have to worry about her." And Dr. Spock, the little boy said, "Yeah, but she's thrown Dr. Spock's book away and got daddy's belt." And that's what was needed. But the Laodicean church is that that makes God sick on his stomach. Now, here's the good part. He still offers them repentance. He said, "As many as I love," verse 19, "I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, therefore, and repent." Then he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, we all know that the building is not the church. It's the people. People can meet under a tree and still be the church. We understand that. House of God is spoken of to have respect of in the Bible, but the building is not the church. The people are the church. Now, here it seems to be represented as a building, because it says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be serious, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door." Now, that's the typology of a building. "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," I kind of like that, because it sounds like even in a liberal church, if any one man, if any individual will hear my voice and open the door, we might say his personal door, "I will come into him and will sup with him, fellowship with him, and he with me." But you find here at the end of the church age exactly what we see when we read a newspaper or watch the news today. We find the Lord on the outside the church being locked out of the Laodicean church. Knocking, would like to give in, would still give grace, would still give mercy, still room for repentance, but no, he's blocked out. He's not. He's out there knocking. Now, we use this verse to teach children, yes, the Lord's knocking on your heart's door, and that's okay to do that in a spiritual sense. But it is here to the church, and it's telling how the modern church has left the Lord out of it. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, used to tell this. He got saved. He was a little young man clerking in a shoe store, but he went to a Sunday school class. And Edward Kimball was the teacher. He was dying with tuberculosis. But he made a point to visit all the boys that had been in his class before he died, so to tell them about Jesus personally, one-on-one. So he went to the shoe store and got permission to talk to D.L. Moody as a young man clerking in the store, and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way Moody got saved. He didn't get saved walking the aisle in a church. But he knew it was right to come join the church. So he presented himself in one of the big denominational churches as for church membership. Well, he was a born again, new, sort of like one of our bus riders. He couldn't answer all the biblical questions. So, and this was the way some of them would do. Back in Abraham Lincoln's day when he was president, I think he owned one pew in the church. Everybody bought a pew, and you couldn't sit on their pew if they didn't want you to. Right? Anyway, you still find some places like that. But anyway, that was the formalism of it. Anyway, D.L. Moody went to the church, walked the aisle to join the church. Well, the elders interrogated him, and he couldn't answer half the questions, so they rejected his membership. D.L. Moody tells a story that he was heartbroken. He went walking down the street, kind of meditating, talking to the Lord, praying to the Lord, and this was his joke. He said, the Lord said, "Well, Dwight, don't worry about it too much. I tried to join that church and couldn't get in either." Now, we laugh about that, but this is a picture of the Lord being on the outside, knocking on the door and can't get in. And we wouldn't have to go too far, investigate too much, to find that what you hear in this church and this Bible and this kind of music and all that would be so out of place in so many places that we couldn't even get in. Now, you understand what I'm saying? That's the Laodicean church age. And the Lord condemns them here. He tells them he's outside. He's speaking to them. If you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and with. Now, that's on a personal basis. Sounds like one-on-one here again. Then it says in verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." Might not get in the church, but you can get to God's throne on a personal basis. "Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, we're overcomers in Christ. That's the only way you could overcome. And that's mentioned here, even to the church of Laodicea, and the one that makes God sick on his stomach, there's still grace offered if they will take it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again, this was seven local churches, but again, they do picture the age. And of all of them, picturing the last of the church age, the Laodicean church hits the nail on the head above almost all of them. I don't have to prove the point. All you got to do is observe, and you'll see exactly why this church is condemned to the Lord as it is. And I believe there's another verse in the Bible, Ephesians 3:21, that makes a promise to the real church, to God's people. It says in Ephesians 3:21, unto him, Christ, be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. That's a promise that the church will endure till Jesus gets here. The real church, the Philadelphian church, will still be here when the trumpet sounds. The Laodicean church is going to have a lot of explaining to do when the real church is taken out. Amen.